Man, I'm not even going to try to pretend that I'm not nervous about this. I'm not even going to try to pretend. But I will tell you that earlier today I had a yoga class, and my teacher was putting me in a position, and she said, "Trust it. You don't have to like it. Just as long as you're not in pain, trust it, and your body will appreciate it." And sure enough, if you sit with the uncomfortable or a certain position, my body was amazing. The reason I bring that up is because I am so uncomfortable right now. My hands are sweating. My heart is racing. So I'm gonna put the same type of mentality. But that means if I sit with the uncomfortableness of this, it's going to be good. So that's my hope. So
love you.
So thank you so much. Well, first of all, I want to thank Heather and the committee for inviting me to share my comments with you this evening. I truly am humbled by this. And I have to keep reminding myself, it ain't about me. So I got no reason to be nervous. I shouldn't, because I'm here to deliver a message. And I just have to keep my ego aside and just set it aside. And I hope that my words here will illuminate you on wherever you are on your spiritual path right now. And our program tells it, our Al-Anon tells it, Al-Anon is a spiritual program. It's a spiritual program. And I am totally, totally convinced that the aim of not only Al-Anon, any 12-step program, is for us to have a depending trust in this higher power. As a matter of fact, the reading from this week, just how my higher power works, from January 22nd, one day at a time, all true prayer somehow confesses our absolute dependence on God. That's what this is about. Before we begin, just so I can kind of gauge my comments, how many of you have had more than 30 years, by applause, 30 years in Al-Anon, 30 years or more? Applaud. Wow. Okay, what about between 20 and 30? Between 10 and 20? And what about 5 and under? Oh, whoa. I love it. You're beginner. You know, the beginner says, you're the lifeblood of our program. You truly, 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 truly are. And I'm so glad that there's so many of you here, because it just reminds me what this message is for. This message is for everybody, but for the beginners. So I wanted to begin my comments by the slogan, "Let go, let God." Happens to be, no such thing as coincidence. Happens to be one of my two favorite slogans. The other one being, "Let it begin with me." And I'm going to talk about that in my talk. Now, first of all, beginners, we have a lot of slogans in Al-Anon. And these slogans, we put them in our tool belt, and we use them. I'm sitting in traffic. How important is it? Here's one of my favorite. "What you think of me ain't none of my business." Ooh, I need that one tonight, actually. Because in case I suck, I don't care what does. But the reason that these two slogans resonate with me is because we learn early on in this program, in our step one, that we have to accept that we have zero control over alcoholics. And then we quickly learn that we have no control over person, place, or things. Now, that's a problem for an Al-Anon that's control freak like I am, right? Because, but here, I do have a little bit of control, right? right? Let go and let God. That's within me. Let it begin with me. There's some control there. I mean, if I were to ask you, so here's the thing about both slogans. They're both simple, but not easy to do, right? I mean, if I were to tell you, clench your fist and your muscles and just sit there like this while I talk. Before a while, you're just going to let go and you're feeling better, right? Just let go and... Well, it should be that easy with let go and let God. But it isn't. It isn't. And I suppose that the reason that it's so difficult is because how can there be a God? We've been through so much pain, right? This baffling disease causes so much pain in our lives. How can there be a God? And why? It's hard to believe that there is a higher power because of how what this disease does to it just warps our perception. So I really believe that is because it's simple to do. Let go, just like I said, let go your fist, you're relaxed. Let go, let God. But it isn't easy, right? So my hope this evening is that by sharing my experience and my strength and hope, that you will spark something that will get you on the path to continue to work with that relationship. Because once you have that relationship and that trust, it's I got everything. Life has just become so much sweeter. So I want to give you a quick synopsis of how I got here. So as my sister mentioned here, I've been in Allen. I'll be 7 months next 7 years next month in February. And what got me here was I had been married 10 years, and my wife's drinking was bothering me. And quite honestly, it wasn't the drinking, it was the lying that went with it that was really troubling me. And so my wife is 20 years my junior. I got married for the first time at 51 years of age. Now, I was a serial monogamous, right? I went from one woman to the next, not being a player or anything like that, but really just, well, what I learned in this program was that I was trying to make women my higher power. I was trying to find what I have today in women. But it had always served me well. I mean, the next relationship that I left was even better than the last one, even though it were hurt in the next one. So when this happened with my wife, even though it was my first marriage, I was prepared to walk away and said, you know what? Okay, I can. It's going to be a good life. And quite honestly, I probably could have had a nice life. But my higher power said, no, try this. You know, you're going to want to try this. And so I came to Allen begrudgingly. My brother had been in Allen. What do we say, Alex? 14 years. He had been in AA 14 years and had been in Allen 12 years, and he had been telling me, "You need to check out Allen." And for me, I'm gonna try it out. Once when I retire, I'm gonna do the whole thing. I'll get into yoga, meditation. I ain't got time for that. My higher power said, "You need to listen." So, the words that he actually got me to go was, "Go to 6 meetings, and if it's not for you, I promise I will never bring it up again." So I went to my first meeting, really just to shut him up. I really thought I knew how to get out of this. Again, I had been there before. I relied a lot on therapy and self-help books, and I always came out feeling stronger. So there was no reason, even though it was scary and blah, blah, blah. But just to shut him up, I went to a meeting. And at my very first meeting, I'll never forget, there was a passage that we were reading, and it said, the word responsibility is the ability to respond to others and ourselves. And I said, whoa. And it hit me. I'm a black belt when it comes to taking care of others. Are you kidding me? I'm the oldest of six. I was a high school principal. I know how to take care of others. But taking care of myself? Zero. So that kind of hit me. So I walked out of there. Lucky guess, little brother. Okay, I'll come back to second meeting. Right? See what? And guess what? A second meeting, I heard what I needed to hear. Now, for our beginners, what I was experiencing is what's known as relief. We get relief. You're going to get relief even from just sitting here absorbing some of the energy that's here. You're going to get relief. But that's not the same as recovery. Recovery is an entirely different thing. Recovery is when we start to work the steps, when we start to work the program. And it took me a whole year for me to finally ask somebody to be my ally. I had my doubts. I was sure that I could do this through therapy, through reading. You know, Alan, okay, I'll try it. I'll give it a try. But once you start working the steps, that's when the magic happens. That's when the true magic happens. So when COVID hit, now I know we all suffered losses, but including myself, so many losses. But it was also a blessing in disguise for me. When COVID hit, I had 3 years of Al-Anon. And because of my profession, I was able to work from home. Well, guess what? I was able to dial up my program where I was doing yoga every single day, meditating every single day. You know, and what it did was it introduced me to my higher power. You read something early, which is, and as we understood, one of my favorite phrases from here. It says, I thank God for Al-Anon, and I thank Al-Anon for God. Because the God that I knew, I'm a Latino. Latinos are, we're born with God. We're born, you know, going to church, you know. We're introduced to God very early on, so there was no doubt in my mind. But that God that got me to Al-Anon, he got me to Al-Anon, it ain't the same God that I have today. It's a relationship. He's not a punishing God. It's my friend. It's my counselor, my comfort. You know, so but that started to happen during COVID. As I intensify my meditation, which is my absolute favorite step. By the way, because when you read earlier about being mindful or being in the present moment, so when Heather asked me to do this in October, you know, again, I better practice. I don't want to start worrying about it. Oh my God! Oh my God! So I put it in the present. I stayed in the present. I put it back here, and it worked. Until yesterday, when the reality, oh shit, oh my God, what, Heather, thank you for this, I'm guessing my higher power has the confidence in me, but it finally hit home. So, and so during this time, I started my relationship with my higher power, who I choose to call Papa, is mi Papa. And it was really interesting. In my meditation, I didn't even know, do I talk to you in Spanish? This is my conversation. En español, well, how do I mean, seriously, it was almost fake. It was almost like, am I really having this conversation? I felt like I was going through the motions. You know, I was told to do. But lo and behold, that's where I started to get whole. That's when I started to get that relationship. And so what I learned in Allah, I mentioned my I need to also let you know that when Heather invited me to do these comments, she heard my brother and I do a lead together. As I mentioned, he had had 14 years of AA and 12 years of Al-Anon. So he gave the AA perspective, and I give the Al-Anon perspective. But here's the interesting thing. My brother, he's a year and a half younger than I am. He's walked the first 14, 15 years of our lives, pretty much like in the same shoes, same experience, same everything, right? But he has the allergy to alcohol, and I do not. But that does not mean that I ain't sick. I'm just as sick as he is. The only difference is I don't have the allergy. I can have a by the way, you want to piss off an alcoholic? Drink some and leave some wine a little bit there and walk away from it. At a restaurant, oh, it'll mess with them. Are you going to drink that? It really messed with them. And it cost us a lot of pain. It's time for you. We were a lot of little jabs. Ain't nothing wrong with that. The other thing for newcomers, we learn, but this sounds crazy, we learn to love our alcoholics. We learn, I now know that I would not be experiencing the serenity, the peace that I have today, had it not been for my wife's alcoholism. I would have, you know, it was her drinking that brought me here. So, no, I don't regret that for one second. Not one second. I know that my higher power, going back to trust, I trust him. He's got me in this situation. I got myself in the situation, by the way. But he's allowed me to stay in the situation for my own growth, for my own way of getting to be closer to him. I know that. And so I can put up with everything else that goes. In yesterday's reading, in our meeting yesterday, I was paying close attention in the one line that said the American Medical Association defines alcoholism as a disease. One of the symptoms is the undeniable need to want to drink. One of the symptoms. That means there are other symptoms that are there. And so when the drinking stops, guess what? Those other symptoms are still there. Are still there. So for newcomers, so if you're hoping that when your loved one, whoever that may be, finds sobriety, that, oh, thank God, we can... No. That's when the actual work begins. That because what I've learned newcomers, I'm so glad there's so many newcomers here because I get to repeat a lot of this stuff. We're encouraged in our program. Attend open AA meetings. Learn as much as you can about alcoholism. And what I've learned is in my wife's case, where you know her nervousness about being around social gatherings and stuff, she would drink the alcohol, and I would kind of, you know, okay, I can handle this. Well, guess what? She doesn't have the armor anymore, so now she's got to face those fears without that armor. Oh my God, that's scary. That's scary, and that also told me. She loves me enough to want to try to do this. So guess what? I'm going to put up with her bad moods. I'm going to put up with them. And I can tell, by the way, when I say good morning, by the way she says good morning, I can tell whether that gorilla wants to dance or not. You know, just from the tone. And so this program has told me, oh, gorilla wants to dance today. Let me walk away from this. It's because, but I'm also compassionate enough to understand, yeah, but she's battling all these demons, you know, so she's going to take it out on me. Okay, you know what? I have a strong program. Bring it on, I guess. You know. So what I learned also in these rooms. So my story began with my grandmother being raped by a drunk cousin. 20 minutes already? Oh my Lord. And in our reading, I'm Courage to Change, indeed, the effects of the disease are often passed from one generation to another. Never met him, and yet it tainted our family. It tainted the family. So what happened with my grandmother, because she dared to be raped, the family took it out on her. You know, they took it out of her. And so my grandmother, she turned to religion, and she tried to force it down my mother's throat, you know. And my mother became rebellious, you know. And the more she pushed it, my mom was kind of a wild person. So when my mom was 19 years old, my grandmother worked at the Venezuelan embassy in Costa Rica. She's a phenomenal cook. And my mom was with her. Well, apparently, the Venezuelan ambassador took advantage of my mom, and I put it in quotes because whenever I talk to my mom about it, she breaks down and cries. And so I don't know if she was taken advantage, if she was raped, or if she just, you know, was a willing participant. In any case, I was the result of that. Now, a year and a half later, my brother comes around from another man. Now, for the first 13 years of my life, I was led to believe that his father was my father. So, you know, his father would call him up on his birthday, and never me. You know, buy him shoes, my shoes, take him to all this, and never me. Well, why would he, right? But you can imagine the kind of pain that kind of caused. So, my mother then decided in 1963 to migrate to the United States and leave my brother and I in the care of my grandmother. When you're a child, you don't understand finances, you don't understand circumstances, you're abandoned, as far as us we're concerned. You know, so we had 2 years of that, you know, and my mom, God bless her, she was sending money, she was taking care of her family, you know. So when she finally set for us, we go to New Jersey, she's pregnant and married. She winds up having four children with this man. He was 19 years old, by the way, when he inherited my brother and I, and was pregnant, right? This is my stepfather. So you can imagine how that went. So my mother then resorted to my grandmother's attempts to try to put religion, and she tried to force it down my throat. And guess what? You know what? There was never anything between me and my mother except religion. It just created a division in our relationship, and it was all because of religion. Her trying to push me and me resisting it. Now, and that lasted up until 4 years ago. I kid you not, I could not give my mother a hug. I'm kind of known for my hugs. You know, I got what they call Stan Leandro hug. I hug because I let you know how much. I couldn't do that with my mother. My hugs with my mom were perfunctory at best. They were, you know, hi, Mom, I love you. You know, but when COVID came, it was kind of a relief that I didn't have to do that. Oh, Mom, I would love to hug you, Mom, but COVID, right? So, but this is where the magic begins. Now, let me tell you about when my mom is a chronic smoker, smokes to the day. So when COVID hit, I was absolutely sure that COVID was going to claim her life. Yeah, she's not only a smoker, she's a stubborn, one of those stubborn, you know, that, and so here's where the magic begins. Here is where my favorite slogan is, let it be. begin with me. I saw this as an opportunity for me to change that. And so my mom, I live in Santa Clarita. My mom lives out in La Puente, an hour drive. Let it begin with me. What I started to do, I started to have lunches with her once a week. Once a week, I would make the drive. Now, my brother Michael, one of the four that were born in New Jersey, one of the four brothers, my brother Michael was taking care of my mother. Let me tell you about my brother Michael. My brother Michael was that one sibling that was lost. He lived with me for a while, lived with my other brother, lived with my sister for a while, you know, just couldn't hold a job, DUIs. At one point, I think that he was found in a sewer at one point. I mean, just really, really sore. So our relationship was kind of fractured. So these luncheons, he was there. He was taking care of my mom. So these luncheons were like an opportunity for me to reestablish the connection with my brother. And as a matter of fact, September of 21, he said, "Hey, Blood, Sweat, and Tears is playing out by your house." I don't know who Blood, Sweat, and Tears are. I was surprised he knew who Blood, Sweat, and Tears was, because I said, "Yeah, yeah." So he came over, hung out, because he was working part-time jobs. He hung on, stayed a couple of extra days. And I remember specifically saying, what a blessing that I get a chance to hang out with my brother. That was September of 21st, 2021. Well, November 6th of 2021, I get the call that my brother was killed by a drunk driver. He was on his way to work, 5:30 in the morning. She was 25 years old, and killed my brother. But here's the thing. This is where the question is, where the rubber meets the road. I have been doing Al-Anon. I've been doing yoga. I've been doing meditation. I've been praying. The rubber meets the road. Is it work? Is it going to work right now when I need it? Guess what? It was absolutely. I know two things today. Two things today. Number one, I don't know where I would have been if I didn't have Al-Anon and meditation and yoga in my life when my brother was killed. I don't know where I would have been. But the thing that I also learned is my higher power was paving the way. He was getting me ready for this. He was absolutely getting me ready for this. And the other thing that I've learned is faith becomes great faith when it's tested. It becomes great when it is tested. Now, my wife, my former, but well-meaning people were concerned about me because they said, he's in denial. You know, I led an Al-Anon meeting. He was killed on a Saturday. I led a meeting on Tuesday and was able to talk to the way I talk right now. And there was a part of me that said, well, shit, maybe I am in denial there because I'm expecting for the other shoe to fall, for it to hit. No, it never did. It was because of this program, this incredible, incredible program. This program allowed me, this past July, they sentenced the 25-year-old to jail, and I was able to, in front of the court, be able to tell her, I forgive you, I love you, I will pray for you. And you know what? One of my regrets that I stayed when they slapped the handcuffs on her, and the way she cried, and that night I cried, thinking, oh my gosh, she's alone in it. But that's the power of forgiveness, you know, to when you know that you truly, truly do, and I do. I absolutely, I pray for her every single day. Let me see, we'll make sure boy, that time went by fast. So, the peace and joy that I have, and I really want to take time to tell you, to give you the secret, because this, I promise you, first of all, there is nothing, I promise you, nothing special about me, nothing. The only thing I would argue that might be special is I am obedient, especially newcomers. We have what we call the unenforceable rules, right? Unenforceable. You know, nobody's going to kick us out. Nobody's going to, but we do them, and we do them dutifully. And guess what? The program, I've always likened Al-Anon to wax on, wax off. You know, seriously. Yeah, seriously, you know, it didn't make any sense. What? I have to introduce myself. I just said my name was Stan. I have to say, hi, I'm Stan again? You already know who. Do it. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Wax on, wax off, right? So I heard the absolute best definition of joy, which is serenity. And what that is the abiding sense of well-being. The abiding sense of well-being. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I don't have pain in my life. As a matter of fact, there are times when my brothers, the loss of my brother, it brings me to my knees and I sob. Not in a cry, sob. But meditation has taught me, you sit with it. Don't push it away. Just like today, I'm sitting with the uncomfortableness of this. Be with it. Don't push it away. Sit with it. And here's the other strange thing. I pray, I literally ask my higher power, please, 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 I don't ever want to lose this pain for my brother. In 50 years, I want to be missing him this much. But I grab his hand, but you got to be here with me because this is, it's painful, it's difficult, but it gets through. It gets you get through with it because of trust. Now, I want to, how much time do I have? Because I need to get to the how-to. I need to give you the key of how to do this. The key to this. What? Oh, okay. Okay, good, good. All right, give me that. The key to this is for you to have a spiritual, for us to have a spiritual routine. We have to have a spiritual routine. And by the way, your higher power, our higher power, he couldn't care less how you call him, what you call him. He couldn't care less, whatever you want to call him. He only demands two things. Love him with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your might, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's all it is. And if you're doing that, I don't care what you're calling him, you're worshiping, we're worshiping this. You know, the Eskimos have over 300 words for snow, more than 300 words for snow. How can we think that we can encapsulate the awesomeness of a higher power with one word, with one name? It doesn't make any sense. So, whatever, now I'm going to share with you my spiritual practice, but I want to emphasize the word my. This is for me. I'm not saying you got to do this. There are only two non-negotiables on this. The first one is he. Consistency. Do it every day. Do it every day. So, my for me, I start the night before. Tonight, I will be on my knees and I will ask him, rest my body how you see fit and wake me up on time for me to worship you. Now, last night, I went to a concert with my wife. We got home about 12:30. I got home and said what I just said right now. 5 o'clock this morning, boom, I'm up. Second non-negotiable is called the heroic moment. When it's time to get up, it's time to get up. Do not hit that snooze alarm. Seriously, I don't use it, but when you hit that snooze, you're already admitting defeat. You seriously? No, I'm not being right. You have to. It's referred to as the heroic moment when you can get up at that. Now, so my day starts off like this. I get up, I get on my knees, thank him for resting my body, and then I have four daily readers that I read. I do this, and then I practice meditation. That is another key. Learn to meditate. Again, meditation, simple. All I'm doing is following my breath. That's it. But not easy to do. Especially like me, I have ADHD. My head is running, but that's part of that helps your practice. The minute that you start doing that, you bring it back. And it's a practice. You do it every single day. So I meditate, practice meditation for 20 minutes. And then I do an online mass while I do some stretches that my chiropractor gave me. I go to my chiropractor every Monday to get adjusted. I go get a Thai massage once a week. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, not to brag, not to boast. The reason is because that's my amends to me. I abuse this body so much, and so today I apologize to my body. You guys should see my feet. They're the prettiest, softest, because they're the ones that suffer the most, man. So after I do that, then here comes the part. And by the way, I was 10 minutes short when I was testing out to see what I wanted to say. What am I going to talk about? It hit me this morning as part of my spiritual practice. I take cold showers every single day. Today was 42 degrees outside. But that is such an important, and I was thinking, why is that such an important? Because I get on my knees. First of all, I don't approach it with, oh, I'm going to take a cold shot. No. I know what that's going to feel like. And I do two things. I get on my knees, and I said, I'm going to trust them. I promise you, there's not a single person in here that if you take a cold shower, you're going to die. I give you my word. I give you my word. But guess what? It ain't easy to stand, because when you feel that first drop. Now, the second thing that I'm doing also, I'm also practicing how to die. I'm surrendering. Just completely trusting and saying, I imagine this is what it's going to feel like. You know, that, and then, because once it gets going, oh, man, once you come out of there, you feel amazed. From there, I go to church, and I do 29 minutes of what we call adoration, which is just being in the chapel, and I'm meditating. And guess what? Those 29 minutes, they are spent with the most important prayer, the only prayer that matters, most important prayer. Thank you. Thanks. I thank everybody on this stage. You're in my prayers every single day, including Tia Frida over there. Not once in a while. Every single day, my 29 minutes is an adoration. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for my grandma. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my niece. It seems impossible, but, you know, I can take a picture of all of you right now, mental picture, and tomorrow morning I can send that prayer for you. And then I do my mass. This is every single day. Remember what I said, the two non-negotiables. I fast every day until 12. I've been, since March 2nd of 22, I'm coming up on 2 years, I have not missed one single day of either mass, meditation, or the. And again, this is not about bragging, I promise you. This is just to underscore consistency. Do it. You don't have to do, as in, you don't have to take cold showers tomorrow. Please don't jump in the cold shower tomorrow. Work your way up to it. Brain research shows, when you can establish a positive habit, another one will follow, and then another one, and then another, and before you know it, you're doing all these amazing things. I've learned three things, very important things in this program. Number one, my higher power absolutely loves me unconditionally. I don't know why. I'm an idiot. I'm a slow learner. I'm a sinful man. But He absolutely loves me. He knows what is best for me. He knows what's best for me. You know, there was a literature, I forgot to mark it, the one in one of our books about the dog that wants to go out and walk, you know, they're doing construction in the house. And the owner of the dog knows, you know, hey, it's dangerous out there, but the dog doesn't understand that. Well, that's me sometimes. I want that, you know. I remember breaking up with a girlfriend, and he's saying, trust me, you don't want this one, neither this, never. The next one will be better. But at the time, it's you learn to trust. And then the third and most important, or not most important, the third thing is, He doesn't do things to me, He does things for me. Everything that happens in my life is an opportunity for me to get to know Him better, for my dependence and my trust. And again, that cold shower, it hit me just this morning. I said, wow, this is just the affirmation of that trust. The affirmation that I'm going to be okay. I'm going to survive the cold shower. In 40, it was 35 last week when it was raining. It doesn't matter. I survived. I'm here. I survived. I didn't die. It sure feels like it when you step on there, and that first drop is going to hit. But that's my affirmation of the trust. So I want to close up with this. How am I doing? Woo! Look at that. That's a spiritual timekeeper. So this is from As We Understood. The idea of faith and trust can be illustrated in a little story about a high wire act. The acrobat stands on a platform far above the crowd and asks if they believe he can walk the 40-foot high wire to the other platform. And of course, the crowd goes, well, yes, you can do it, right? So, gets all the way across, standing there applauding him. Next, he stands poised to push a wheelbarrow across and ask if they have faith that he can do it. Yes, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Yes. There it goes on the wheelbarrow, gets to the other side. Yes, amazing. Then he asks, who has enough trust to climb into the wheelbarrow? Crickets. Well, this program, this amazing blessing, not only am I in the wheelbarrow, well, I'm in the wheelbarrow, I'm not hanging on like, no, I'm in the wheelbarrow, I'm having a good time. I have complete trust in my higher power that He is going to get me through whatever it is that I need to get through today. I always like to end that, you know, by saying that my serenity is such that if he were to tell me today, Stan, I'm glad you got a chance to speak to these folks. I need you today. I need you to come. Are you kidding me? Because I know where I'm going. I know. I cannot wait. But here's the kicker. If he tells me, Stan, I need you around another 50 years. Sign me up. Are you kidding me? I am living the dream. I promise you. I don't need another house. I don't need another car. I don't need any more money. I don't need another wife. I am literally in want of nothing. I am content. Now, the other thing is, there's a difference between being happy and being content. You know, I think too many of us, especially those of us that are married, we think that, you know, we want to live happily ever after. No, I'm content. And content means it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, it sucks sometimes. It just absolutely sucks. But guess what? I signed up for this. I'm learning, and it is what it is. That's what it is. And I, there are also great moments. my final for those newcomers that may be here with spouses, I learned early on in this program a formula: A plus B equals C. Sorry, I got the teacher in me. I gotta teach. A plus B equals C. Okay, A is we'll give some number. A is 2, B is 1, 2 plus 1 is 3, right? I am A, my partner is B, the relationship, the marriage is C. If I improve myself and she does nothing, 3, I go up to 3, 3 plus 1 is 4. I don't improve more. 5 plus 1 is 6. Whatever I do here, guess what? Here. And when she starts to do her lifting, and which she has, it's starting to improve. So if you are here as a newcomer, you have a loved one, it does not mean that it's over. You know, Al-Anon, my wife was so concerned when I first started going to Al-Anon. Oh, they're just going to teach you how to divorce me, how to leave me, you know. And I thought so. I thought that's what I was there. I thought, how the hell do I get out of this? You know, I thought I was there for the same reason, to be honest with you. But no, as a matter of fact, newcomers, you'd be surprised to hear in our literature, we don't even talk about the alcoholic. We don't even talk about them because we quickly learn, as was clear in my case, it wasn't her drinking what brought me here, but I see the bigger picture now. He was preparing me for my brother's death, which took my faith and my relationship to a whole other level. So, you know, whatever brought you here is not necessarily the reason. You know, just it remains to be seen. Trust it. Keep, we always say in our program, keep coming back. It works if you work it, but you got to work it. And again, ain't nothing special about me. You can do it too, I promise you. Anyway, I think that's it, right? Woo! Hey!